In this podcast episode, Brother Brzezinski continues the series on Ephesians with a lesson titled, A Context for Charisma.
You guys can be seated. I always just enjoy being here. I always feel it is just a privilege and an honor to be here. And if you guys get very little else from tonight, besides that, that song was probably worth it in itself. But if you get nothing else, I want you to listen to this quote, because this quote in itself could change your life. And this isn't Bible. This is just a really good quote that I want to read to you. It's a quote by Miles Monroe in a book called Uncover Your Potential. And he says, "The wealthiest spot on this planet is not the oil fields of Iraq or Saudi Arabia. Neither is it the gold and diamond mines of South Africa, the uranium mines of the Soviet Union, or the silver mines of Africa. Though it may surprise you, the richest deposits on our planet lie just a few blocks from your house. They rest in your local cemetery or graveyard, buried beneath the soil within the walls of those sacred grounds, are dreams that never came to pass, songs that were never sung, books that were never written, paintings that never filled canvas, ideas that were never shared, visions that never became reality, inventions that were never designed, plans that never went beyond the drawing board of the mind, and purposes that were never fulfilled. Our graveyards are filled with potential that remain potential." It's a powerful quote. And when I look at this class, it's an honor to teach here for a number of reasons, but one of the big reasons is because this is such an amazing group of people, and there's so much potential in this class, and there's so much talent in this class. And I bet very few of you know the mission statement of the young adults class, but I'm here to share it with you. It is, and I will read this, it is equipping young adults in ministry, connecting them in Christian fellowship, and challenging them with the Word of God. I think that's a good mission statement, and not just because Sister Hannah and I helped to write it. Brother, don't you? Yes, brother, I mean, I appreciate, brother, yeah, I appreciate so much Brother Juan's leadership, and that is, I'm not even kind of being funny. I appreciate his leadership. He just has natural leadership. It does. So, but this is the mission statement. And it begins equipping young adults in ministry. I find that interesting, because how can we as a class, or you as a leader, how do you equip people for ministry? I mean, I think that you can give people a context to come up and sing or teach or be involved in certain ways. But at the end of the day, equipping people in ministry, there are certain things that either you have it or you don't. There are certain gifts that people either have or you don't. I would be happy to sing a special, but you would not want to hear me sing a special, because I do not possess that gift. I just do not. But we have enough potential in this room to do incredible things. And Zach Ross isn't even here tonight, which is saying something, because... So what I was going to do is I was going to take a piece of paper, like a note card, and put it on everybody's seat and just have you take it and write on it, but I did not bring note cards. But because I just think that this kind of thing helps us if we can kind of reflect on how this applies to us personally. And we all have gifts. So I wonder whether it's just in your mind and you're pretending that you have a note card, I'm okay with that, or whether you want to pull out your phone and make a little note on your phone. But I would just challenge you all to just write down mentally or on a card or on a piece of paper, God has given me the gift of whatever it may be. And I don't want anybody to rush into thinking anything quickly, because I think, Brother Kilman, that people finding their gift is a pretty important thing. And a lot of people that I know either obsess about it too much, or they kind of drift through life without really figuring out what they're good at. And I think that there are God-given things that everybody has. And I, when you write this down, make it realistic, make it objective. I think that a lot of people probably have visions of, well, someday I want to be a great this, But I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying today, people here have certain gifts, and maybe it's just still the seed of a gift, but you have certain gifts. Maybe for some people, it's just like, I am a super good listener. And that's not trite in any way. I know people who God has just blessed them where they have like a ministry of compassion. When people are in trouble, guess who they call? They call people like this because they just have that going on. And we all have certain gifts. So I you don't have to have it nailed down now, but as we go through the lesson tonight, I would just like you to think about what your gift is. And even Sister Madison, you've got a gift. I'm not kidding. All of us. Sister Madison probably more than most. I mean, it's just what we all do. And like I said, the reason why I do this is I think a lot of people here, who wants to do something for God in this class? A lot of people, right? A lot of people want to be in ministry even out of this class. And I think that sometimes when we look for the will of God, we're looking at what is the will of God? As in like what? Like what will I be doing specifically? What will my position or office be? Or like where will this take place? Where am I called? Am I called to Zimbabwe? Am I called to my local church? What, where, and when, you know, this is a big one. Like when, God, am I missing the will of God? When? And people obsess about the when or the what or the where. But I think that a big key to all of this is simply, what has God already given us and what can we do with this? And especially for people who in this class have a lot of talent. Talent and giftings can be a liability. So for you all especially, there are people in this, put me to shame. People like Alex Golden and Zach Ross isn't here and Cassie Cole. And there's so many people with amazing talents. Puts me to shame, but that can be a liability unless we have an appropriate context for the gifts that God has given us. And when we look at Ephesians 4:1-17, Paul is talking about, in large part, he's talking about gifts and ministry, but he's talking about the appropriate context for all of this. He's kind of wrapping it all up. What is, yes, we're blessed with giftings. Yes, we're blessed with a lot of things. And in our future, we're blessed with giftings, but it has to be in the right context. Or it can be destructive if we have giftings in the wrong context. Amen? All right. Are you guys a little tired tonight? All right. That's good to hear. Well, I want to propose a question to you guys. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12:29-30. And the verse says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? So have you guys ever heard people argue from the standpoint that, well, look at here, are all apostles? Obviously not. Are all prophets? Well, no. And then we get down to, do all speak with tongues? And then you've heard people argue that to say, see, speaking in tongues is one of the gifts. It has nothing to do with salvation. It's one of the gifts. Has anybody heard that argument? Okay, so, and I want to just lay some foundation here. So how do we answer that? Does anybody want to try answering that before we move on? Brother Kilman, that's not fair. Yes. Ha ha. Right. So, yes, yes, but right, you're right though. There's two different words for that, for gifts. Right, right. Right. And this may be a recap for some people, but we're going to lay this foundation anyway, okay? And I want to go to Ephesians 4:7 to look at, because in that verse, both of these two words are used. It says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So that word grace there is what is often translated charisma, which is that 1 Corinthians 12 gift, right? So in the same verse, or in the same chapter rather, 1 Corinthians 12, there is a verse that says, now there are diversities of gifts, charisma, but the same Spirit. So the charisma gift is the supernatural ability and empowerment to do something. So do all speak with tongues? That's possibly referring to tongues and interpretation. possibly diversity of tongues. I don't, Brother Kilman might be able to, but it's certainly, the context is certainly clear. It's a charisma gift. That chapter has nothing to do with salvation. So if you're going to make an argument for that, you would not go to 1 Corinthians 12. You just wouldn't. It doesn't make sense. The other word is doria, and that is also used in Ephesians 4 and 7, and it's the gift of Christ. It's also used in Acts 2:38. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's not usually plural. It's the gift. That's the one. It's also used in John 4, Jesus talking to the woman at the well, and he says, if you knew the gift of God, that's the gift. Okay? So I just want to put this into context. And this is a big part of the context of our gifts, okay? We shouldn't even be talking about an appropriate context of the gifts to use our charisma unless we have first encountered the gift, okay? The gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of salvation. So why do people go to 1 Corinthians 12 and try to pull it from there? I don't know. Where we should be looking is probably where people, there's a historical record where people have actually experienced salvation, and what do we see there? Well, we see the Acts 2:38 experience, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen? All makes sense. So the first point I want to make, the appropriate context for gifts is a genuine salvation experience. As Paul puts it, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not multiple baptisms, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, all right? Now, if this is, I don't even want to approach this, but is it possible that giftings can be used outside the appropriate context? Oh, yeah. And what do you make of that? We're not going to get into that. But for our purposes and for our lesson tonight, we need to make sure that if there is a gifting outside of preaching one Lord, preaching Jesus Christ, outside of one baptism, outside of the infilling of the Spirit, we got to be careful about what that charisma is working toward. We have to be careful about the end of what that charisma is working toward. Amen? So that's the first point I want to make. We need to work our charisma gifts in the context of an Acts 2:38 experience. And I wonder, who is here for the camping trip? And you heard Brother Barber. I really enjoyed Brother Barber's talk to us, and he wasn't screaming at us too much, but he solidified something in my mind, and that is the importance of the one God message. It's critical. As Paul puts it, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That's interesting to me that it's not the Holy Spirit in you all, like the third person of the Trinity, but it's God and Father of all in you all, above all, through all, and in you all. So who's in you? The God and Father of all. What are we talking about when we're talking about this one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all? It's that we are all united under one God. Now, this is key. This is key that it's connected to the Old Testament God. This is not a new doctrine going on here. It's critical at this point in church history that this is connected to the God of the Old Testament. And Paul does this. And he does this in the verse Ephesians 4 and 8. And I'm gonna enjoy this. I hope you guys too. I love this kind of stuff. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Paul is talking about Jesus there. But he says, wherefore he saith, which is an indication that he's quoting somebody. Who is he quoting? Well, he's quoting Psalm 68. So we look back at Psalm 68. And what I really like was when I was reading the commentary, the commentator said, much perplexity has been felt in regard to the principle on which Paul quotes this psalm and applies it to the ascension of the Redeemer. So This gets me interested, right? Because if the commentators are perplexed at what the Apostle Paul is doing, something good has got to be here. So there's got to be something that he does not want to admit. But we have two options here when we read this verse. Either the Apostle Paul was quoting David because he knew what he was doing and he had a point to make. I don't know, maybe the Apostle Paul was anointed and he knew what he was doing. Or the second option is the Apostle Paul had no clue what he was talking about. He accidentally quoted David. Oops. I mean, which one do you think is more likely? I'm gonna trust the Apostle Paul on this one. I think he had a point. So we dig into Psalm 68, and this is all about the Ark of the Covenant coming back into Israel. That's the whole context of the psalm, is the presence of God coming back into Israel. And interestingly, it gets deeper yet. Well, but wait, there's more. If you start reading Psalm 68, it begins, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered." And David is quoting Moses back in Numbers 10:35. Is this awesome or what? Okay, it's just me. No, it's awesome. So it says in Numbers 10:35, not long after they left Sinai, "And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, 'Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered.'" Do you see what's going on here? These people aren't quoting each other just for fun, but they're invoking what was going on here is exactly what's going on here. It's a parallel thing going on, okay? So when David is talking about Moses, he's saying that God who was with the children of Israel, the God who led them out of the wilderness, the God who went before the ark, the God who was the cloud by day and the fire by night, the God who sent the manna, the God who descended on Mount Sinai, this is the God that we are now welcoming back into Israel. That's what David was saying by invoking Numbers 10. So it gets good. And he says it explicitly in Psalm 68:17. It ends, "The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place." Literally, it could mean, so in Sinai, so in the holy place. The Lord is with them, as in Sinai, so in the holy place. So here we have David celebrating. And that right after that verse, we have David, Psalm 68:18. The very next words says, "Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts of men." That is the exact verse that Paul is quoting. So what is Paul doing? Intentionally, he's going back and saying that God who is with Moses at Sinai is the same God that David was inviting back into Israel when the Ark of the Covenant came in. And that's the same God that ascended, that descended and ascended to win gifts for us. So if I could just put it another way, as in Sinai, so in the holy place. As in the holy place, so in Jesus Christ. And as in Jesus Christ, so above all and through all and in you all. So are these gifts mamby-pamby stuff? Is this little cute church stuff that we're involved in? No, as in Sinai, the God that descended there, the God of the ark, that's the God that Paul is invoking here. And that's what the commentator doesn't want us to catch, is that this is the one true God of the Old Testament. So that's the second context. It's not just, we are not just united in some triune goofy way, but we are united in with the spirit of the great I am. I am that I am. That is who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. So to recap, number one was the context of a salvation experience. Without the spirit of Christ, we are, thank you. Second is this one God. We're united in one spirit. We're united by one God. That's the context here. One spirit, one God, and we are one body in one spirit. We are all in one body. And this is critical. You know, when Jesus was saying, what's the greatest commandment? He said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And then he ties right into it. He says, "And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So he ties these together. So if we're going to talk about this context, the reality of who God is, we also have to talk about this, the purpose of our gifts is not to make me look good, not to make me popular or, you know, sing really good so that people pat us on the back. The purpose of all this is for the edification of the body, for the church. Paul says it this way, and this is in context when he gives the fivefold ministry. Right after that, he says that they're given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what is the purpose of these gifts? It's to edify the body. It's to edify all of us. That's key and that's critical. So if I may, diverge just a little bit, you know, I think that, as we all probably know, it can be difficult to have certain gifts. It can be a difficult thing to have the gift of chair picker-upper, chair stacker. I have that gift. I'm a great chair picker-upper. I'm a great cord wrapper-upper. I have the gift of cord wrapper-upping. So there are gifts that, the gifts of help, helps is what I mean. There are difficult gifts sometimes. It just seems like, man, I wish I could be, it looks so, I wish I could just get up and sing a solo and that was it, right? That would be much better. I wish I could just get up and preach. That'd be much easier, right? Well, and I want to just, well, it's terrible. No, I really, it's like some people like Zach Ross, like loves to public speak. I'm like, what is wrong with you? How can, I don't relish it. I don't relish it, but you know, I do think, so does that mean when we say that, that there are gifts of helps and we need all gifts, that, oh man, I'm given the gift of helps and that's just where I am for life? Is that what we mean? I don't think so. I don't think so. And I think, you know, Paul wouldn't have said things like, they that desire the office of a bishop desire a good thing, or covet the best gifts, if it were not possible to receive more gifts or move up in, not move up, but I do think that there is a certain hierarchy in terms of what is valued to the church in the gifts. I could be wrong on that. I'm not saying that not everybody's needed, but Paul in Ephesians lays out the fivefold ministry. It seems to me, this is Kevin's opinion, not Bible, but it seems to me that these are what he's saying, these are the ones that are really what strengthen the church. Please. Right, covet to prophesy above all. Right. 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 So there's not a hierarchy in terms of value, but there's a hierarchy in terms of profitability to the church. It's just the way it is. If you have an anointed preacher, it's valuable to the edifying of the body. So if you might say today, well, my gift is not to be able to preach like Brother Mooney. Well, yeah. But you know what? Brother Mooney was not always Brother Mooney. You know, and Brother Kilman, I don't think you were always Brother Kilman. Sister Kilman? she attests to this. So, you know, and the way it seems to work to me is that, like, Brother Sisko told me this. He's like, I was graced and gifted in the area of teaching. I was not a good altar call person. I was not a good preacher. But by working in my gifting, being faithful in my gifting, over time, God just expanded the grace and expanded my ministry and gave me abilities in other areas. But the key here is what? And this is why, you know, I said, what is your gift? Because the key is simply this, that whatever we have in our hand, when God said to Moses, you know, what is in your hand? He said, what is in your hand? He didn't say, what do you think you might be someday? What's your vision? He just said, what is in your hand? So this is walk worthy of the vocation, walk worthy of the calling where you've been called in. This is just the practical thing, being a good steward of what we have today. Now, I want to tell you a story. One of my friends, and I won't name her, but she is in what I would say is a holding pattern in her life. She's talented. I think she has talent to be a preacher. I think she has talent to be a soul winner and just powerful in the kingdom of God. But today, she's in a holding pattern in her life. It's like she doesn't have clearance from the tower to land. It's just she's circling. She's like, God, what's going on, right? Now, she's in St. Louis, and she was at headquarters, and apparently there's some janitors there who were not in church working at UPCI headquarters. And she saw them, and she thought to herself, my dear Lord, I couldn't live with myself if these people who work at the headquarters in St. Louis don't hear the gospel. So she prayed about it. She got a burden, and she prayed about it. And she decided, God wants me to bake them cupcakes. That doesn't seem like much, baking cupcakes for people, maybe we should be like, in Jesus' name, and just lay hands on them. And no, just she just prayed about it and had a burden to bake them cupcakes. So she gives them cupcakes. Time goes on. She thinks nothing of it. And then one day, somebody prays one of these people through to the Holy Ghost. And that, and she, the person who prayed through the Holy Ghost, said to her mom, by the way, will you please tell her thank you for the cupcakes? I mean, what am I saying? It's not, if we don't use what we have today, why should we ever get more? It's just like the parable that Jesus gave, the parable of the talents, right? And I could go through it. I'll go through a quick version. Let's say a CEO like Brother Lopez gives his employees, he says, look, I'm going to give you this department to manage. I'm going to give you this department to manage. Here's $10,000 to you, $5,000 to you. And one of the guys goes and instead of investing it, he buries it in his mattress because he thinks the stock market's going to crash. What do you say to him? I could have put that money in the bank and made interest. So it's just this principle of stewardship, right? Amen. And I do want to make this point as well. And I, in a little bit, if you could come sing that song again, that was just good. Would you come help me just kind of end this, Alex? But I do believe that there is a principle that God delights in success of his children. How does the body of Jesus Christ grow and move forward if the individuals are not accomplishing something? So God doesn't want, this is like, some people like get this martyrdom thing too ingrained in them, like, oh, God is always going to beat me down. But I think God wants his people to succeed. I think God wants his children to make it. I think that God doesn't get glory out of failures, but God gets glory out of our success. Now we need to put that in the right context, of course. It's not about us. It's about him. It's about his church. It's about his body. But God does want us to succeed in whatever we're good at. That's just how it is. And if I can just take it another way, yes, use your gifts. Use your talents. Whatever you have today, use it. Employ it. But make sure that it's in the right context. And I say that just because I see, and I don't mean to pick on you, Alex, but I see talented people around here. And I'm not just saying that. Like, I see people with so much talent that it just blows me away. And I've also seen people with so much talent that they couldn't resist the highest bidder. And they took their talent and they let it get out of the right context. So Brother Sliva always says this thing that the spiritual gifts, our supernatural giftings, our anointing, the things that God has given us and is really, as we've seen, that he's won for us, that he's conquered for us. These things can be taken out of the wrong context because the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. But I just, and especially to the people with talent, especially to the people who have giftings, I just hope that you'll use it in the right context. I hope you'll use it. Let me reiterate that. I don't want to scare you from using your gifts. My grandpa said this thing in water skiing. He said, if you're not falling down, you're not trying anything new. And I think that's true. I think that is true. It's God doesn't mind us failing, but he wants us to keep trying, to keep moving forward. Amen? And if I could, just, you know, whatever it was that you were thinking about, whatever that gift was that you either wrote down, that you just had in your mind, I would just ask that you would just get it in your mind right now and just commit to God. God, I want to invest this in your context. I want to put it under the authority of truth. I want to, in a very practical way, invest it and try and go and do. And I wonder if somebody would just say, God, I want to commit this to you. And if you'll multiply it, great. But I'm giving it to you for your body, for your purpose, for your glory. If you just bow your heads and do, please, get that gift in your mind. And Jesus, we love you and we thank you for what you've done on the cross. We thank you for what you've given us. So many talents in this room. So much potential in this room. And God, it would be the worst thing to take that power and talent that you've given and pervert it and use it to be destructive. Rather, we want to honor you with it and submit it to an appropriate and a right context. And we know that you'll multiply whatever we put into your hands. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for your power and your goodness and your anointing. In Jesus' name.